하리, 하리.
하리요.
When you open your books, you should chant Hari Hari. So, Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna, I would just love to start this morning session with a short, with two things. With a short show of hands, where you please answer my question. Why is pramada or inattention such a fierce or strong apparat, so that Haridas Thakur says, for this, to conquer this, you require the mercy of Krishna. Why do you require the mercy of Krishna to overcome inattention? Do you have done any reading on this, or do you would you like to share any thoughts about this question? For Krishangi Leela, who I believe was not there yesterday for the morning session, just for you to know, this is such a grave problem from which the covering of the holy name arises, that Haridas Thakur says simply by one's own endeavor one cannot gain victory over the restless mind and avoid inattention. One needs the mercy of Krishna. And he says this about no other offense. He just says this, for this one you need the mercy of Krishna. I mean, obviously a Vaishnava will want the mercy of Krishna about really every issue in his life so that he can solve it. But why is it so difficult? What is the result of your reading or your thoughts? Not all at once, please. It's a good question, isn't it? I know it's not an easy question. I'm sorry to... Maybe after your breakfast you should have a little bit more relaxation. I would like to help you, actually. See, we have turned against Krishna since time immemorial. We cannot really say when Gaurahari has left Krishna, as an example, or when any one of us. We have become what is called Bahir Mukha. Our face, our mukha, has turned to the bahir, the external energy. Now, when we chant, we are trying to correct this fault, this very same reason which builds the ground or the reason for our existence in this world. We try to correct a mistake which is not 2 months old, or 10 months old, or 10 years old. This mistake is not even 10 lifetimes old. It reaches back into the beginningless time when we turned. So when you want to again turn towards Krishna in the form of his holy name, it will not be so easy. You will confront your indifference to Krishna. That was one reason why you turned against him. You will confront your own laziness in relationship to Krishna, or your spiritual inertia, and you will confront the restlessness of a diverted mind. You will confront, in other words, your raison d'existence. I can't really speak French, but when I see Gaurahari, I just try. Your reason for existence, this is what you confront. Therefore, you require the help. Only by Krishna's mercy you can be liberated. Anuvriti Shabdat. And by Krishna's mercy in a specific form, that is his sound mercy. The Vedanta Sutra says, Anuvriti Shabdat. One can become freed by Shabda, by sound alone. When you sit down, my dear devotees, what I do before I start to chant, I always do click, click, click. What is click, click, click? I just make it very clear to my mind. Hello. Now you will chant the Lord's name and you will enter. And here comes the magical word to overcome inattention, a sambandha, a relationship with Krishna. I know that the answer to my question is very difficult, and I want to excuse myself that I didn't put to you an easy question, but I thought the difficult question helps us to go a little bit more difficult, to go a little bit more deeper. Now, I once was at a japa workshop by a devotee whom I appreciate very much for his systematic training. It's a Burijan Prabhu. And Burijan Prabhu said, it was in Varshana 2 years ago during our japa workshop. He said, when we turn against towards Krishna, what turns up is our unwillingness to surrender to Krishna. And then the mind has so many things to think about, or is just dull, that would be lazy, or, you know, you just really don't care so much, you know, if you're really honest. You know, it's much more important for you to, that breakfast is on time, you know. So this is a little bit the reason. Therefore, my dear devotees, I fall down at your... I don't want to say it so dramatic, but I really urgently request you, when you chant, and when you want to become a good kirtan person, you have to think about your relationship to Krishna, how to form a relationship to Krishna. We will hear three magical tools today, how a relationship to Krishna can be formed. But I would love to now ask my co-teacher, Banu Nandini. She actually helps me a lot to design these retreats and courses. And I also would like to give her a voice. I would like you really to tell us where we are in the journey. And then I will have a lively question and answer session. I realize I have not really taken time to answer your various questions. But I would like Banu Nandini to give us a summary Oh, you started already to write down the days, so that you repeat to your mind a little bit what you learned and how to use the knowledge. It's very important, my dear devotees, that you are now for this session very attentive, because these ancient knowledge about chanting in Kirtan Sambandha is really essential for you to make the difference between lousy chanting and so on. Some of you have asked, I thought the Kirtan course is about learning instruments, and don't worry, you will have to practice Mridanga until your fingers bleed. I'm joking. There will be sufficient amount of time to learn the drum, the karatals, the harmonium. The teaching will start the next week, and you will curse yourself that you ever wanted to have intense training. There will be first an assessment how far you are, where you are, and what you need to go to the next step in your singing, in your kartal playing, and into the Mridanga. It's a very thorough teaching according to the principles of teaching. But we really want to lay the foundation here. So please be maximum attentive now so that we can understand what we heard and what we learned. And I'm very thankful that it comes through the mouth of Bhanu Nandini, because you have heard so much from my mouth, this mouth, that you may not listen very keenly. But now comes another mouth, yes. Same brain, but I mean similar brain. not same, but same ideas, but different wordings, yes.
Thank you very much.
Let us, maybe one Mataji can equip you with a microphone so that... who of you, Abigail, you have to just fix it somehow.
Thank you, Siddhartha.
Yeah.
So, hi Krishna to everybody. We met yesterday sufficiently, so it's not anymore such a problem to speak before all of you. As you may have noticed, Maharaja's retreats or courses are always designed in such a way that they represent a journey. So Maharaj always lays a foundation first, and then he builds up. And as you may have noted, in the first session, which was the entering the course, meaning his course, but also the entire Kirtan course, Maharaj has introduced you a little bit to what is Harinam Chintamani. And we have heard how Harinam Chintamani came about, how this work was written. And this was very important so that we have faith in what you're going to learn, and that we have also eagerness to study more. So usually I give little summaries or overviews of what we have learned so far. And the reason to do this is because when we learn so much, we tend to get new information, and then after a few days we have an information overload. So you're going to be eager to hear more, but if we don't repeat what we have heard so far, it's just going to go into the back of our brain and it will get lost. And you will hear so many more techniques and things which are important for chanting and absorbing ourselves in deep chanting of the holy names. But if you don't refresh what you have learned so far, it will really just go in the back of our brains. So usually what we do is that I give a small overview, but Maharaj and myself thought it would be better if you are the ones who are going to give us a small overview. And how you're going to do that is just, you can also, if you like, go briefly through your notes, but whoever feels inspired to share something, for instance, on entering the course, like what struck you that evening? What did you hear? What was it really that moved you that you felt, oh, this thing I want to apply in my life, or this thing I want to remember, I want to ponder maybe deeply about it. So that in this way we will hear from all of us, you know, from each other, and we will refresh and summarize what we have learned so far. So if you have I can maybe start. I can just say one thing that we heard how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur retired to Puri, to Jagannath Puri, where he wanted to do bhajan, exclusive bhajan. And he brought the Harinam Chintamani there. And Harinam Chintamani is a discourse between Srila Haridasa Thakur and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as you remember, was visiting Haridasa Thakur every day. And Haridasa Thakur, the Namacharya, was asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are the secrets of chanting or proper chanting of the Yuga Dharma, the holy names? So this is how Haridasa Thakur is telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or answering his questions. But before he answered the questions, he also said, my Lord, I am not very intelligent, I'm a very fallen soul, and I can only repeat what you are going to tell me or give me to repeat by your mercy. So I don't know how many of you remember this. So then Maharaj said, there are four qualities, or three qualities and one element which will be important throughout the whole retreat. So do you remember what it was that Maharaj presented?
Humility.
Humility?
Prayer.
Prayer?
Faith.
Faith, yes. And do you know what, do you remember, do you recall what he said about humility? What was the tip to practice humility? Yes, you can.
So, use difference in between spiritual and material humility, and how material humility is like when we think about ourselves and push ourselves down with guilt and comparison to others. While this spiritual humility comes naturally if we serve, have this service attitude, and
I think Maharaj said that spiritual humility that is good comes about when we think less about ourselves and more about Krishna. It's good, but
if we practice tolerance.
Tolerance, yes. That was the tip. Yes, to practice tolerance throughout the retreat, throughout the course. You know, like be tolerant in whatever situation, and then you will automatically become more humble. And then he said also something about developing service attitude.
Serving the others in the course?
Yes. Why is that important?
To
receive blessings? Yes.
It will increase our taste?
Yes. Yes. Okay, and then also service attitude to the holy name. He also said that's also important to develop. And then he explained a little bit that we learn here more what it means, really. Okay, and then prayer. What did he say about prayer? He gave you one tip also. I'm sorry, it's not about like you're getting grades. It's really that you just...
Every morning and evening.
Yes.
Praying for Krishna's mercy.
There is a principle in that in material life, when we go to universities or to schools, we really have teachers, we hear from them, and we receive knowledge. But in spiritual life, it's not only the information which you are receiving, it's more important to realize the information. And this is why prayer helps us. We pray for Krishna's mercy so that he really helps us to realize. And for this course, Maharaj suggested that you pray in the evening and in the morning so that you really are in connection with Krishna all the time. And you know it's not depending on your own strength. It's your thing to hear. Okay. And then day one, do you remember what was the heading of the day one?
Shraddha.
Shraddha, yes. Faith. And you know, whatever struck you, you can just share. You don't have to go like by what struck you in Shraddha.
By reading Srila Prabhupada's books strengthened your faith in Krishna.
Yes.
Struck me quite.
Yes, but we can rest our Shraddha on reading scriptures. Yes. Thank you.
Maharaj talks about a section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes Shraddha, but I became very curious to go and have a look and read the section.
Okay,
so when I, after the course, I'm going to go back, I want to go back over my notes and go through all the readings. This is a lot more, it was quite exciting, the idea there's a whole pool of information to go into some more research.
Also, that is our only qualification.
Yes, the only qualification.
So, yeah, that we need to.
Enter chanting.
Yeah. Keep that faith.
So, how can you increase Shraddha?
Association.
Association, yeah.
What struck me with Shraddha. And then because we discussed 2 points, Shastra and process. And what I really liked there was the forming, storming, and norming, and the relationship with Shastra. I couldn't really give more detail, but I really liked
the. Yeah, Maharaj said first we form the relationship, then things will come on the in the way of the relationship, like storming, and then storming then
norming,
yes, and then we will get to know each other more. Or sometimes it will be difficult for us to chant, but if we continue to chant the holy names nevertheless, this would not much also tells me all the time. But don't be discouraged. Just continue. You know, like this, you're showing Krishna that you really care, and you will firm. Cement your relationship. Okay. And we also heard on faith that Krishna is non-different from His holy name. So this is, and then we did a practice, if you remember, where we really remembered that Krishna is non-different from His holy name. And then we were singing, and then Maharaj was reading to us some prayers about humility, to come in the humble state of mind, and then we were also longing for Krishna. That was the first day we practiced.
And he was telling a story about the messenger, and I found it very helpful to actually, this was a really good analogy to understand how the holy name is not different. It was very good for me.
Do you remember the story, Rachel? Yes. Okay. And then yesterday? Yesterday was overcoming the shadow chanting, or shadow chanting. And we have also done a very wonderful, we had a wonderful workshop where we discussed one of the anartas, or aparadas, offenses to the holy name. Somebody remembers what we discussed about? Yes, it's all part of inattentive chanting or indifference, laziness, and restless mind. Yes. So we did this in the workshop. And then what was the practice which can help us overcome in this indifference?
Hare.
Yes. Hare. What does it mean?
The first Hare.
Yeah.
Concentrate on the first Hare and not, don't worry, that was one exercise. Just put all of your attention into the first Hare.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, it was like a line. Like it's like I had this picture in my mind of fishing, like throwing out a fish and then kept, and then it was like connected.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the first Hare, then everything else is connected.
Mm-hmm.
I have this kind of Doppler, I don't know if this effect, the car goes past, it goes, yeah. So it's like this Doppler effect. So the mantra becomes like.
Yeah, you can remember the example of the river, right? So Maharaj explained to us that before we start chanting, we are like the person standing on the bank looking at the Maha Mantra, which is like the eternal river. And then first Hare is like we're just entering the river, and then we let ourselves float. But once we are really in the mantra, inside the mantra.
It's a very powerful, very powerful exercise. I really urge you to. We made a graphicon for this to really try it. This is. I have heard it from many devotees in the past. They have told it like this, and I mean it is consistent with our teachings, really. So, I think really Anna, I want to make a photograph of this picture. So really wonderful. We all want to be the person in the middle of the river.
So thank you all, and I just want to one more time tell you that whatever we learn new, this is now really what the research has shown. If you don't repeat it within the next 48 hours, we will forget. I mean, definitely it will stay somewhere in our brains, but we will not be able to recall it so easily, and then we will have to almost study it all over again. So it will be nice if you, in your free time, you just read through the notes, just to refresh it a little bit, you know, that it stays with you, because you're going to hear so many things. And then try to practice, because psychologists also say whatever we hear and we don't apply, it's also going to be forgotten.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
I also found it useful, like at the end of the day, to just see what kind of questions were addressed during the day, and then just record them, and then you'd like to go through and see what you remember.
Okay, could you repeat? You do it on your own, or you? Yes, you write questions, and then in the end of the day, you.
You see if you remember.
You see it.
Oh.
How again? You during the day you write some questions, like. Why do we need Krishna's mercy to overcome inattention? And then. You put the question, and then in your when you review your notes, you find these questions there, and see if you can give the answer. Wonderful. Where did you get that from? Just personal application. Yeah. I have about 500 questions on Harinam Chintamani. If I would shoot them at you, you would be flabbergasted. I also would like to recommend to you, you have now the book with you, which is really a nice thing. All the ideas which you hear are really in the book. And as you review the book later after the Kirtan course, you will definitely see, recognize these ideas, and you will learn it more. I must tell you, I'm with these books, Harinam Chintamani, since many, many years. I'm taking now a second book on the holy name. It's called Bhajan Rahasya, with me to Vrindavan, and I chant for 1 month based on the Bhajan Rahasya, and it will be the 20th year where I do this. These Vaishnava scriptures are scriptures really to be read and applied again and again and again. And their knowledge gets deeper and deeper and deeper every time. I would like to do soon a little pause, but before the pause, I want to see if you have any... Or should we do a pause right now? Maybe it's good to have a pause now, and after the pause, have questions and answers. Then you can prepare a little. Is it a good idea? In this pause, did you like the exercises yesterday? Was it helpful for you? I know Kshatriya exercises, which help you to wrestle with lions and so on. But maybe we should do them later. Maybe now we should just have 10 minutes of just walking about, Maybe we can ask, our devotee is, good morning, welcome in Belgium. Maybe you can be so kind to open the window. I never saw a devotee resting so heavily. Like that. That was very... So I hope to, please, in 10 minutes, let's look at this watch. It's our standard watch, our London Greenwich time, I think they call it. In 10 minutes, that's 25 to 12. We are back in the room. Thank you so much, and really, it was such a nice thing to hear the summary and hear your answers. I actually felt, my God, they're actually learning something. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And you can see it's quite systematic. So today we will go into what I consider the most important secret on chanting, chanting with Sambandha. See you very soon. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's good if one has such tools. So, Hari Bol, where is everyone coming? I think they are there, no? Yes. Somehow we have increased. Hare Krishna. So I wanted to just briefly see Hare Krishna. Before I start the teaching of today, I want to just briefly see if you have any questions which you would like me to respond to. Questions about the subjects you have learned, questions about the course, questions about anything which came up during your stay here in Radhadesh. Yeah, Munishvara Hari.
You talk about the four weaknesses of the heart. Can you say it's illusion? Or is this, I'm a servant of Krishna?
The four weaknesses of the heart. Would you like to, again, would you like me to repeat them? I'm not clear about the question. You're just phrasing it. So, yes, please go on. Please go on, sorry.
Ich kann so kurz auf Deutsch sagen.
No, 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 we understand English.
Okay. Yeah, we have the show devotion, then envy, then to get position or career, career.
Mm-hmm.
And
career.
A priority, what is that? Anhaftung?
Attachment
to material things
which are not related to Krishna, yes. You can find these four weaknesses of the heart on page number 14 of your bhajan, of your Harinam Chintamani version. And there, in footnotes, you find the four weaknesses of the heart. Mm-hmm.
To overcome this, you said that we are the servant of Krishna. Which page? 14.
14. Mm-hmm. The remedy to overcome.
Yeah, the remedy to overcome this. Can you say any more to this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm just getting my things together. It is said that you have to go on the level of Nama Bhasa, that is shadow chanting, as long as you're not clear about three things, that is, your own position as a spiritual soul, second, your relationship to Krishna, who is your supreme master, and if you're not clear about why you are in this world, you are here in this world to reform yourself. We will soon practice applying these three types of knowledge, but you will always remain ignorant and weak in the heart as long as you dream the material life. And to wake up from the material life, you need these three informations, and you just don't need them in a realized, in a theoretical way, but in a realized way. I would like to give you an example from my own life. As I confess to you, I had been a music lover. It's not correct that I was only listening to one band. I had a whole mixture of music, classical music and modern music, but also traditional folk music. I like very much the gamelan orchestras of Cambodia, for instance. I could listen for 4 hours about. I went to concerts of Cambodian music, and I was a music lover. I was very interested in culture when I was young, and I consider this a great attachment. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I thought, well, at least in our movement, there's no comparable developed music. It's just a few bhajan tunes, which are linear music, you know, simple melodies and not very complex arrangements. I didn't for a long time not know what to do with this deep pulling in my heart to the culture which I was accustomed to. But I really, when I discovered this, how to overcome the weakness in the heart which manifests in material attachments, I just thought, is it really important, Sachinanda? I mean, you are an eternal soul. Is Cambodian chord music really important? Is it really important to hear Bach and so on? Do you have a relationship to Krishna? In other words, I always feel when you become somehow strong on the spiritual platform and convinced on the spiritual platform, your previous attachments just leave you. Or let us take a big attachment, sexual attachment, where our physical bodies are attached to the opposite sex. It is a very strong attachment, as you know, when you're a young person. It becomes less when you get older, but it's considered to be the prime attachment. But the moment you understand you are not the body, you are the soul, it's different. That's what they used to do in when a Buddhist monk was so attracted, and he went to his superior and said, "Can you help me? Since 2 weeks I'm just trying to meditate, but the attachment doesn't go out of my mind." And then his superior would bring him into the cellar. There was a room, and in the room was a beautiful lady, and the superior then said, "Okay, let us look at the beauty of this lady." She was sleeping, and then he pulled down the cloth, and the monk said, "Oh no, now I'm going to see things which will increase my attachment." The cloth went down. "Look, look, look," said the superior. And then as the cloth went down, he saw a skeleton. Yes, it was only a rebuilt body of a woman. It was not a real woman. It was in the dim light of the cellar, that real form was not seen. So he could see that this is just material elements. And by the shock therapy, maybe there were some organs inside the skeleton and so on, he developed a healthy distance. So in our Vaishnava, in the Hare Krishna movement, we have a theater play called Liquid Beauty. Have you heard about this? I will not tell it to you because you have taken your breakfast. It's, but this, what you can, it's better to think positively. I'm an eternal soul. All women are eternal souls. All men are eternal souls. It's just a temporary dress which everyone wears. Weakness of the heart, which comes in material attachments, can be overcome by spiritual knowledge and by being firmly situated in spiritual knowledge. Then you just leave it. Then it just leaves you. It's almost like I think we are all attached to things. To pizza, for instance. I'm going to eat pizza tomorrow in Manu's house. And I know Manu's parents are known all over Europe as first-class bakers. They have the bakery, and I think pizza is not a problem for them. They will also know how to do it. And then, you know, there is sometimes a tendency to overeat when there is an especially nice preparation. So what you can do is you can, to overcome this weakness of attachment and overeating, you can just think about, this is Narada Muni's tip, about the outcome, what comes out of this, eating too much. You will suffer, you will be dull, you will not be able to enjoy the kirtan most properly because you are just so tired. In the midst of the kirtan, you have to go into that room where only one person at a time is allowed, you know, and spend half an hour there downloading everything, you know, so not down, as you, anyways, you know what I want. Hare Krishna. So there are a few things you can do to overcome the weakness of the heart, but the best thing is really to wake up from the dream of material existence, jeev jago, and understand you are an eternal soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. What helps me very much is I read prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he expresses his longing for Krishna. There is a prayer collection called Sharanagati, which is very good. And also there is another collection called Kalyana Kalpataru. It is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur advised all his disciples to keep copies of these two songbooks, Sharanagati and Kalyana Kalpataru. Who knows Kalyana Kalpataru? It is available here in the, it's a, the desire tree of auspiciousness. You just go through it and it addresses all these weaknesses of the heart and what to do with it. Kalyana Kalpataru. Yes, thank you, Manishwara Hari. Yes, you have another.
I also especially have problems with envy, especially in the temple in Leipzig. And then I was Brahmachari and then householder, but it was very hard for me because the Brahmachari said my householder, the fallen souls. And then Krishna gives me a tip because there are, with the snowflakes, the snowflakes are all different.
Different, yeah. Not so, one is the same.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have also no similar connection to Krishna. Everybody has his own connection. This was very helpful for me, that everybody had another melody in his heart, another connection, not the same, not similar. It's really helpful, I find.
Yudhishthira Maharaj says that the reason of envy is small-heartedness. And I also, what I do when I become envious, I think, but this devotee is serving Krishna, and Krishna is to be served, and my heart becomes immediately large-hearted. It's not about me. This devotee is serving Krishna. It's about, you have to widen the heart. When the heart shrinks, you have to widen it. Krishna is served so nicely by this devotee. Why should I be sad? I should be happy. Yeah. Widen your heart. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Madhati. Can you help me again? Your good name?
Anasuya.
Anasuya, yes. This time yes. I know.
I'm not so clear on the difference between the Aparajna stage and the Namabhas stage, because also in the Namabhas we talk about Aparajna.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe it's too far outside of
the... No, it's a good question. There are three levels of chanting Hare Krishna, as we know. One is Namaparat, Namabhasa, and this is the second. And the third is Nam, Shudanam. So, it seems that on the first level of chanting, Nam Aparat, where you commit aparats, there are aparats, and aparats again appear on the second level of chanting, when it is said that Namabhas comes about from anattas, and these anattas are threefold. One of it is aparat. So, aparat is in the first stage there, and aparat is in the second stage. What is the difference? See, someone who does nam aparat, the first stage, is not concerned about aparats. He just lives like this. Someone who is on the second stage, namabhas, is very much trying to avoid aparat. That's the difference. So therefore, there is a different treatment of aparat, you could say. Mm-hmm. Yes, Vrindavan Biharini.
Yes. I have a question, or should I get to the morning class?
Yeah.
I was reflecting on the importance of understanding the three energies, the Chit Vaibhava, the Ajit Vaibhava, and the Jiva Vaibhava. And my question is, how important is to understand... How are all these understanding of all these three energies interrelated, or how much the understanding of Chit Vaibhava is dependent on the of the self, of the understanding of the self? Or to be more concrete, for example, I can listen to a pastime, and sometimes I just listen to it as a normal story, and I cannot enter it whatsoever, and I just even feel like I'm doing offense to the pastime, and I better leave the pastime. And other times, it is Krishna's mercy that it is rather the pastime opening to me, and I can enter it. And I'm just curious to know how much is that related to the nourishing of one's character, or is it important? How important is that one is truthful, has integrity as a person, nourishes compassion towards other living entities, or is entering the pastime totally independent and transcendental, totally not dependent on how much is that?
Yeah. How is the personal story of the listener, the personal the jiva? How is that related to listening about spiritual subject matters? You will be surprised to hear that the only qualification for entering the pastimes of Lord Krishna is faith. You must be faithful. There is a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur who says that Chaitanya Charitamrita, that that before you hear about Vrindavan, Yamuna, Govardhan, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj, this whole manifestation of the Chitvaibhava, you must understand it's totally different from the material world. This type of Shraddha, this Alokika Shraddha, this Shraddha which is different from mundane Shraddha, you know, is required. That's the only thing which is necessary. Therefore it says in the 10th canto, if you hear with faith the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, you will become free from the heart disease called lust. But you must hear with faith. And the faith is that this is not an ordinary relationship between men and women, but the gopis are expansions of Lord Krishna's pleasure potency. So this type of faith helps you to see things spiritually. I think it also helps you to have the proper amount of respect. Respect is necessary when you hear Krishna's pastimes, because it allows you to look again on Krishna's pastimes and see the entire spiritual nature of it. That is all which is required. Then you should hear in a service attitude. A service attitude means, oh, thank you very much, to try to be attentive and not sleep, for instance. Service attitude is necessary when you want to hear. I remember a godbrother of my Gogovinda Maharaj, who would talk about Krishna's Leela, and he would say to his audience, you need to understand now, you are performing devotional service. You do the service of hearing with attention. This is a service. The energy which you put there. What I always do recommend to devotees when you hear pastimes, just become a little bit aware that this is spiritual, it is not material. It is different from the thing, and place your faith in that. That's the only qualification which the jiva has to come up with. Because the pastimes of Krishna exist for themselves. They are in their own category. There's no necessity to relate to them. There's one thing which Shiva Goswami says. There are certain pastimes, but we in ISKCON usually don't hear about it. They are available in a book called Govinda Lilamrita. And if you don't have this faith, then you may become, as a woman, agitated because it looks to you like a sexual encounter between woman and man, or man, Radharani and Krishna. Or as a man, you also may become agitated in a physical way. And then you should stop and not continue to read. Because obviously that faith, that this is spiritual, is still theoretical for you. You mistake it as being something material. That injunction is there. But this only happens when... I have not seen anyone in... I may not remember now every Krishna Katha I've heard, but I didn't feel... Yes, there's one person who consistently makes the mistake when he talks about Radha Krishna, that it is a little, it reminds you of a relationship of man and woman. And I have been asked to talk to this person, but I know when I would do this, he would not be willing to see his mistake and attack with great force, and therefore I do not wish to engage in discussion on this subject matter. Because there would be no benefit for the person. Good. I'm seeing time is also there, but you asked such an interesting question. Rishabha, your hand is there. Let us finish with our Rishabha.
Thank you, Maharaj. On page 56, the last three lines.
Page 56. Yes?
The last three lines, you know, the liberated, those aspiring for liberation, and those caught up in the material world are all qualified for the name. The conception of the name differs slightly among those who are liberated. Some chant in the mood of separation and some chant in the mood of meeting the Lord.
Yeah.
Can you please kindly explain?
Yes.
Right at the bottom.
At the bottom in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
These footnotes, by the way, are by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There are three people who are qualified for the name, the liberated, those aspiring for liberation, and those caught up in the material world, and they are all qualified for the name. The conception of the name differs slightly amongst those who are liberated. Some chant in a mood of separation, and some chant in the mood of meeting the Lord. Yes. Rishabha. There are two ways of for the great souls to chant. One is, O Krishna, where are you? And the other is when they feel Krishna is coming. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes about this, that there is a devotee who sings the kirtan of the Lord, and as he sings, he all of a sudden sees a beautiful pastime of Krishna. Krishna is entering the house of one gopi and begins to look around in the dark place of the house if there is some butter. And he finds some butter and he takes the butter, and just as he takes the butter with his hand, the old gopi, Jarati is her name, comes and says, "Oh, I have caught you red-handed. You have stolen my butter." And Krishna then, as a little boy, flees out of the room. So the devotee sees this as he chants the holy name, and reflected on the mirror of the heart, the Lord appears to him with his pastimes. So he becomes very happy when Krishna steals the butter, but when the old gopi comes and chases Krishna away, he becomes so sad that Krishna now runs away from his vision, and he begins to cry continues chanting Hare Krishna in the mood of separation from Krishna. Now as Krishna hears how his devotee chants in the mood of separation from him, he begins to think, I have to save the life of my devotee, and he then appears before the devotee, and then the devotee starts to jump up and dance. So these various moods are there for liberated, exalted Vaishnavas. They either chant in separation or they chant in the mood of meeting Krishna. Two things do happen to them. Thank you for asking this wonderful question. I will now do a little kirtan with all of you. Can we ask our Manuji to play the madanga, and we will do a little kirtan. How are you doing? Are you tired?
No.
No, good. It is in the purport of the verse Evam Vrata Svapriya Nama Kirtya. Evam, new word, Vrata, Evam Vrata Sva Eva. Oh, I just had it. Evam Vrata Sva Eva Nama Kirtya. It's in the 11th canto. You will find it on your Google machine. What should we sing, Gaurahari?
Maybe the...
We have a...
The Rupa Manjari?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I introduce my favorite Hare Krishna melody for you? To
yes,
you?
Yes.
It's one of the favorite. I don't know, but it's a raga. The devotee from whom I heard it is called Rupa Manjari. You should have that, because it's a little difficult. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you.
thank you so much. Sounds so nice. I mean, it has maybe to do with the acoustics, but you sounded very nice. It's the acoustics, maybe?
Both halls here have nice acoustics for kirtan.
Oh, really? Yeah, the kirtan hall. Thank you very much. It says one should engage the body, the mind, and the voice in the service of Krishna. And I always thought, the voice, is it... I mean, isn't that the body already? So why is the voice specifically, that is separately mentioned from the body? And today I could realize it, that the human voice is really meant to glorify Krishna. It is something special. It is, and this is such a nice wave. You just glorify Krishna and the association of devotees. That's the best yoga. I want to now make a short point of education. It is the only philosophical point today, but it is the greatest point I feel I can relate to you as students. If after all these years of chanting, someone would come forward and ask me, Maharaj, let me put my hand on your heart so that I can see if you answer my question truthfully or not. What have you realized to be good kirtan? What is your own experience? When does the kirtan becomes imbued with life? You remember, Prabhupada made the point that there is yoga with life and yoga without life. So there is kirtan yoga with life and kirtan yoga without life. When it is without life, it lacks what is called sambandha, that is a relationship with Krishna. The kirtan immediately becomes filled with life as soon as the devotee enters a deep understanding or an understanding of sambandha. And this is a wonderful secret. I always say to during the japa and kirtan retreats which I am invited to give, that for me kirtan is like going on a long walk with Krishna. Do you sometimes, I don't know, you are more young, I mean modern people, I'm an old generation, but what we used to do in our generation, when we have a friend with whom we have not really talked a lot, where the relationship has become a little bit, let us say, forgotten, we usually invite our friend for a long talk in some undisturbed area. And if we really want to engage in different subject matters, we do a walk and a talk. We say, don't you sometimes do this? You call someone, would you like to come over and we make a walk and we talk as much as we want? I find out that walking, especially into nature, brings the mind into a different setting, and you are able to go into these subjects which usually you don't even touch. So chanting Hare Krishna can be compared with going on a long walk with Krishna. During the kirtan, there's really nothing else happening around you than Krishna's name. You may like to make contact to the next person and may try to raise his attention, but he will usually consider it as a disturbance when you interrupt his concentration. So you are in a room with 50 people, but really all these people are busy singing and have no time to talk. So there's only one person whom you can address, and that's Krishna, who who's addressed by the kirtan. You're alone with Krishna, really. Have you ever noticed when you do kirtan how all of a sudden you don't think of communicating anything with any person? It's just not, you don't do this. I can imagine you are sisters and you talk a lot about everything like sisters do, isn't it? What do you think about this, Satya? Oh, Gandhari, I think this. Oh, really, Satya? Let me tell you, I'm absolutely sure that today there will be pizza. I can see it by the different symptoms from the kitchen. The smell, and there was yesterday they brought olives into the kitchen and I washed it very carefully. So you talk about everything usually, as sisters do. When you are with Krishna in the kirtan, you should also learn to talk about him about everything, because you're all alone. There's no one else who will notice what you reveal to Krishna, because they are all extremely busy with their own kirtan, or if they are tired, they may space out, but they are for sure not having time to be with you. I like that also yesterday when you all started dancing, it was you were dancing for Krishna. You were not dancing as a show to attract the attention of others to your persons. You were actually being alone with Krishna. That is kirtan, a long walk with Krishna, a chance to be alone, a chance to reveal your mind in secret. You have to open for Krishna, to Krishna. And in Harinam Chintamani, there is an interesting meditation which I usually teach at the Japa retreats. When one chants in the sense of this relationship with Krishna, one has three important meditations. Meditation number one. Maybe we can just request our Raivati to put it on the blackboard. I'm an atomic particle of consciousness. I'm just expressing it in the same language as Bhaktivedanta Thakur. And an eternal particle of Krishna. This sounds a little bit abstract, maybe, isn't it? I'm an atomic particle of consciousness. My God, what does this mean? Imagine someone asks you, who are you? And you say, I'm an atomic particle of consciousness. You would think, everything all right with you? But you know what it means. And an eternal particle of Krishna. Particle of Krishna, it says here in my notes. I think I wrote it properly. I do this. I did this also before this beautiful kirtan which we just sang. I just took a little pause and thought, I'm an eternal soul. I belong to Krishna. Like this. I'm a spark in the fire of Krishna. Like this. And then you turn your attention to Krishna. Meditation number two. Krishna is an infinite conscious entity. Krishna ist ein unbegrenztes bewusstes Wesen. And my only master. Infinite conscious entity and my only master. And the last meditation is this material world is a prison house. Ooh. That is meant to reform my truant, difficult word, I will explain it in a moment, tendencies. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That is meant to reform my truant tendency. Abigail, you are the master of the English language because you are, I believe, in acting. What is a truant tendency?
Well, truant means to be absent from something. So if you're truant from school, then you don't go.
Wonderful how you explain it. Truant means to be absent. So I'm this material, I did this mistake, I was absent in my relationship with Krishna, I broke it, and now I'm here in this house of reformation, the material world, where I actually begin to understand, without Krishna, my life is useless. Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna. The jiva, Bharata says, forgets that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. And as a result of forgetting that he is Krishna's service, the jiva enters the material world where it searches for happiness. The material universe is a prison house for the jiva, a place of remedy or reform to rectify the living entity for his mistake of turning away from Krishna. If the jiva, by the mercy of Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, takes up Krishna's name with the correct knowledge of Sambandha, he will attain the most valuable treasure, Krishna Prema, and the highest perfection for the living entity. Possessing that realization, even the liberation of merging into the Lord's effulgence becomes detestable. He doesn't want it. Yet, as long as the knowledge of Sambandha is not understood, the anattas and ignorance must remain, and the person will continue his existence on the platform of Namabhasa. So this knowledge of Sambandha, this understanding of Sambandha, is really the cure for and the heart of your kirtan. Look at me. It's the heart of your kirtan. It gives life to your kirtan. This deep understanding. Oh, my Lord Shri Krishna, I belong to you, really. I have been so long absent-minded, but now I'm turning to you. My dear devotees and my dear skeptics, this is the turning point in your kirtan, this Sambandha. Chant with an inner sense of connection. Connect the chanting. Yeah. I request you to stop today with determination, Vishakha. You're disconnected chanting. This is very important. Manu, no more disconnected chanting. And it's the way in our tradition this chanting with connection is done. You always put a chant before an altar. Even here, Radha Kanaya Lal in their summer outfit, this is the playful summer outfit, have come. Or here are pictures at the end of the wall. This is there. You can see all kirtan leaders, big kirtan leaders, when there are no deities around, they have their small little altar and they put it on the harmonium. Did you see Madhava? Mm-hmm. Madhava will not start a kirtan unless he puts his secret little altar of the Radha Shyam Sundar deities on his altar, on his harmonium. What I do, I always, before I start, I'm a man of, I have a big temple which I always carry around with me. It fits into the heart, and it is as big as the universe. And I always, before every kirtan, I go before my Radha and Krishna, and then I have a few altars there in some huge temple. It will not be possible with all the riches of the world to build this temple of the heart, which is there. And I will go there and chant in that temple. You can see. I mean, I'm not really an example of a kirtan leader, but all the real kirtan leaders, they always understand. I need to chant for someone. Otherwise, I won't survive these 2 hours where I have to sing and have to pull 200 devotees behind me to Krishna consciousness. No kirtan, bona fide kirtan leader will chant without singing for someone. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one must think about the person whose name one chants. Don't you know this? When someone calls you, just offhanded, Munishvara Hari, Munishvara Hari, Munishvara Hari. You don't pay attention, but if someone goes, Munishvara Hari, you think, oh my God, he's calling, he's connecting. You need to know this little secret. It's all you need to know. If you want to forget everything which you have heard, welcome, welcome. But remember this one word, Kirtan Sambandha. That is the life. And once you give the life to your kirtan, chanting for Krishna, then the kirtan is very, very vibrant. It will never be boring. You will never want to stop. Depending how long you can keep that connection in your mind. Remember, this. Please open your book on page 50. Hari Hari. I think at this moment it is still a little artificial if we open it with Hari Hari. But after some time you cannot. There, look, there is Sambandha. Have you seen it? Your reading task will be to read this paragraph. It's on page 15. Sambandha, it's only one page up to, sorry?
15,
1-5. It starts with the second paragraph. There's a little word, Sambandha, connection. Sambandha translates into relationship, and you can maybe, and you can read up to the first paragraph, up to the of the next page. Four types of Nambasa for the faithless. This is something else. This you don't need to read. It's just this little thing. I'm so happy. I only give small homeworks because I didn't like homeworks when I was a little boy. I wanted to play, you know, when I came from the school. Homework? No, why homework? Please read in that reading assignment the third paragraph. It starts with yet. Yet, as long as the knowledge of Sambandha is not understood, the anattas and ignorance must remain. Anattas means the clouds and ignorance must, the mist must remain before the Son of the Holy Name. And the person will continue his existence on the platform of Namabhasa. It's very clear. Haridas Thakur gives a very clear instruction. Yes.
Can I ask something?
Yes, Anasuya.
Is this the sambandha? Does it mean the being an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna, an eternal particle, as an eternal particle of Krishna, or does it mean the full knowledge of who we are?
Very good that you asked this, Anasuya. How long are you in Krishna consciousness?
13
years. 13 years, I thought so. We are not talking about our eternal relationship with Krishna here. Because that type of knowledge will be revealed to you when you chant with Nam Rasa, with a lot of ecstatic taste in the chanting, something which happens when you know your eternal relationship with Krishna. No, here we talk in a general way, in the way the Bhagavad Gita talks about. Mai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entities in this world are my eternal part and parcels. It's on that level. What exactly you are in relationship to Krishna, maybe a coward boy or assistant to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, or a servant of Srimati Radharani, what you are, that will be revealed. It is said one day the holy name will come and take your soul to the area of Vrindavan and there show you your eternal identity. The holy name will act at that time as a revealer of your eternal rasa. This will come if you learn to chant free from offenses. This is now the Namabhasa stage, the clearing stage, where your life gets cleared. And when the Shuddha Nam comes, first you will see Krishna's form, and then you will see your own form. First you will see Krishna's qualities, and then you see your own qualities, how you are. Maybe you are extremely playful or extremely serious. First you will see Krishna's pastimes, and then you will see your own activities in devotional service. This will all be revealed. Just like when the sun rises, Anasuya, then the different trees are revealed. When the sun rises, the different buildings are revealed. The paths are revealed. So in the same way, when the sun of the holy name rises, the details of your particular identity will be revealed. But here it's just, I'm Krishna's part. I forgot him. And forgetting him, I came to this material world. There's a nice meditation which I like to give to you, but not now. I will in a few minutes. Which is my favorite verse for chanting. You will be able to meditate on this verse which contains these three things. That was a very important question. Sometimes Anasuya devotees say, well, we are so fallen, we don't have a relationship to Krishna. But this is not entirely correct. The relationship is there, but it is covered over. Sometimes it does happen that a person is put by his parents on the steps of a temple because the parents cannot maintain the child. This happens in India. Sometimes they find little orphans on the steps in the morning. You know, the parents may be so poor that they cannot guarantee a school training for their child, and then they give them to our Hare Krishna temples so that we take care of the children. And it has happened also that later in life, when the child is grown up, he meets his parents, and first there was no relationship, but then they feel there is a relationship. Now I know I have one disciple, a female disciple, whose father divorced or ran away from his from her mother when after he had placed her into the womb of her mother. So her mother found another man who took care of the little child. But one day the mother said to the mother is my disciple, and the little girl is now 24, I think 30 years old, you know. One day she had to say, see, the person with whom I'm yet, with whom I'm now living is actually not your father. And she immediately said, I thought so. I didn't feel that relationship. But then, who is my father? Oh, well, do you really want to see him? I know his name. I know where he lives. He's now married and has a family. Mother, I love to meet my father. Somehow it is maybe a need. You know, you want to know who's your father. Does everyone here in the room know who is their father? No?
No.
Not known. So this girl wanted to know her father, and the mother told her so and so. They found out the telephone number, and the girl said, I'm your daughter. Long pause. What do you mean, you're my daughter? Well, do you remember my mother's name? Oh yes, of course, I remember. And there was a little awkward situation. Then the man said, he's a good man, it seems. What can I do for you? Just only one thing. I want to only once see your face. Okay, you can come when my wife is not at home. And she came and she saw the face of her father. And it was very important for her for some reason. She could solve a lot of issues in her life. So what I'm trying to say with this example, I asked her, how was it when you looked into the face of the stranger? And she said, he was not a stranger. He knew me and I knew him. That was what she said. And so it's the same with Krishna. You have your eternal father. I think you don't need to know your material father. You have your eternal father. You may now have forgotten, but by the way, he has not forgotten. And you need to look into his face, otherwise you will never be happy. And when you do so, he will smile. And he will be the most beautiful person and not just a bewildered kami. Hare Krishna. This is called, yes, this is necessary. Sambandha is required. He is there, and you have a relationship. And in a general way, you are starting that relationship the moment you say Hare Krishna. What is Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna is just a meditation formula. That's a holy name. Name means the name of someone, no? It's the name of your eternal father. And the Radharani, don't you want to? Isn't that wonderful? You can now, you start a journey where at the end you will look into his face again. Hare Krishna. How exciting. And this is how you do your Sambandha Kirtan. I'm starting my journey to look into your face again. This is meditation. You first come, I realize this is a very philosophical language. I'm also not a philosopher. I think just I'm an eternal part of Krishna, and then I think Krishna is wonderful, and we have something to do with each other, we have a relationship. And then I think I'm only in this world to become again in this relationship. I must say, sometimes kirtans are for me very long, and especially when I have back pain, and then the singer is maybe not especially talented, or he sweats in his hands from excitement. You can hear it in his voice. He's not really singing for Krishna, but he's and so on. And then I want to leave the kirtan, but I always think, well, this is the best place to be. Prabhupada always used to say, the best place in the material world is in kirtan. Wherever you find a kirtan, sit down there, and you are the best place, Ravi Kunj. No need of looking for scenic places. You have the best place. So I want to now chant with you this in this mood of Sambandha Kirtan. How are you? Do you need a little pause? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little, isn't it?
Just a visit to that small
room. To that small room, yes. Can we have a 6-minute pause? That is, can you be back here, please, at 1 o'clock sharp? Or should let us make, why always so short pauses? 5 minutes past one, I'm expecting you. Please be there. 5 minutes past one. Is it past one? Yes. Krishna.